Welcome to the February-March edition of Heart to Heart. To mother and inspire the world. From an address by White Eagle. When we tell you that humanity has a glorious future, and that within yourself lie the most wonderful possibilities, you will find it difficult to believe. In the olden days, by which we mean a few centuries ago, when people were really living in a dark age, the church promised a heaven which was certain so long as people had faith and belief in its doctrines. When we tell you of a life of beauty, of glory, of perfection, a life of happiness, harmony and beauty, we do not speak of a life divorced from this earth. We speak of the life which can be realized by you, first of all, within your own being, and secondly, on the outermost plane. Heaven can indeed be realized on earth. There are several ways in which this can happen. The spirit of a man or woman can become so radiant, so dominant over the physical life, that he or she can penetrate to the higher realms of consciousness, which you think of as heaven. Instead of this heavenly state being in some faraway sphere up in the clouds, this heaven can be found here, on earth. You can become so attuned to truth, to your true being, that you are able to see beyond the veil of materialism, into the land of light, which is the land of the spirit. If humanity desires this, it is necessary to unfold spiritual qualities. Only when these spiritual and mental qualities are unfolded is a person raised up by Christ, so that he or she can behold and actually take part in a life of unimagined beauty, harmonious, holy, healthy, peaceful, but also a life full of energy and activity and service, and at the same time, a life which can be enjoyed tranquilly. All this would seem almost impossible, particularly during these dark years. But the darkness will lift, and the sun will shine again. In the book of St. John's Revelation in your Bible, you read of the holy city and its temple. The temple can be the human body, the place where the divine spirit resides. The body should be always a healthy and beautiful temple for our God. The two pillars which support life, which support the human being, are the heart, the centre of life and wisdom, and the mind, which is the centre of power, of energy and will. And the keystone is Christ, which forms the royal arch into the temple, into the Holy of Holies. When you get this perfect blending, this perfect marriage within your innermost being, there is the production of a perfect Son of God, the perfect child, the perfect son, the perfect man, the perfect woman. We would refer you to the symbol of the six-pointed star, which consists of two interwoven triangles and is an emblem of the mystical marriage, the perfect blending of the dual aspects of life. What do we see in the world today? Chaos, cruelty, sorrow, terrible suffering. And why? What has brought this state of things to pass? Because humanity has starved for the lack of the mother principle for many centuries. There has been domination first by the body and then by the intellect or brain. Both have tended to imprison, if not slay, the divine mother principle, which is wisdom and love. In the future, there must come, there will come, this illumination, this initiation, this expansion of spiritual consciousness. You will see this mother aspect, not merely woman. We are speaking of divine principles here. You will see this divine principle of the mother slowly but surely influencing the world. As a result, there will be a much greater inflow of love and wisdom, a lessening of the power complex. When the spirit of the mother works hand in hand with the father principle, which is the higher, the divine mind, you will get a return to sanity, to harmony, to happiness. These things must be brought about by men and women through simple ways and in simple human life. The brain must not be used to invent instruments of torture and destruction, but to bring through noble and fine inventions, which will further help to evolve the soul. So many of these are already prepared in the halls of wisdom. There they lie, waiting for humankind to open their minds, attune themselves to the divine thought, and thus be ready channels. Then there will be easier communication, easier travel, less hard physical labour, more opportunity for mental and spiritual culture, a perfect opportunity for every child to be educated and to be trained along the higher mental and spiritual lines. Opportunities for cultivating the spirit through art and music, literature and drama, and all that will bring happiness and joy to the lives of people. God does not intend his children to suffer the horrors and cruelties of a world overridden by this power complex, by the brain. Instead, God wants men and women to find heaven on earth. Heaven can only come through the perfect blending, the absolute balance between the two opposites, the positive and the negative, the male and female. Then there will follow a raising of the whole vibration of the earth. Then there will be a second coming of Christ, the perfect one, through the mystical and perfect marriage of the heart and the mind. The pillars of the great temple of love referred to again and again in Revelation, and in the glories which St. John describes as the Golden City, the city of the New Jerusalem. Take heart, take courage, my friends. Life is before you, ever unfolding, and it will lead you in the end to happiness and joy. not only in some faraway unknown state, but here on earth will come the kingdom of heaven. Here on earth, angels will walk and talk with humanity, and there will be no terrible darkness and division between the spirits who dwell in the land of light and those who are still imprisoned in the flesh. Death will be overcome, because souls who live in a physical body and souls escaped from a physical body are not separated. They can see each other and talk together in joy and love, a brotherhood of the spirit. Already, groups and communities of people are all working with one object, seeing a wonderful vision. All are moving forward together to reach that object, to bring through to the earth plane light, knowledge, wisdom, love. It will come. You are given the vision to work for it here and now. Divine mothers and divine fathers, may you express the very highest, so that you may help forward the day of perfection and happiness for all God's children on earth. Women, mother the world. Men, inspire with the highest truths your brother man. Forgiveness by Jane Sorby. Carry a green branch in your heart, and a singing bird will come. So says the Chinese proverb concerning the gift that lies in forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Psychologists define forgiveness as a deliberate, conscious decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards someone whom we perceive to have harmed us. Forgiveness covers a very wide spectrum and bubbles under the surface of most ordinary things. For within forgiveness can lie our judgment of how things should be, not the way they are. It can be as trivial as our reaction to someone forgetting to put the cap on a tube of toothpaste, to our view of leaders, nations, and governments. All these things can settle themselves as huge, solid barriers of irritation and judgment, which we hold unwittingly in our minds and in our hearts. Through unforgiveness and our lack of understanding, we place a block in our spiritual pathway. It's interesting, that word forgiveness. It often sounds to so many that if we forgive, we have had to back down in some way, or lose something in the process. The only barrier to forgiveness is that the little self doesn't want to forgive. There is a myriad of reasons why, and if we dissect these reasons, they all return to the small self who feels it will give up something by forgiving. We can all be quite brilliant in our attitude of self-righteousness and inability to surrender self and just open our hearts and forgive, just as the Master gently demonstrated. To forgive, we open a wide space inside ourselves, there to fill and add to the love which is already there. At one of our meditation points at the bottom of Temple Hill, here on the land at the Centre for the Americas, White Eagle speaks of forgiveness, and I quote, "We shall do well to remember how much we ourselves need forgiveness, and to learn to forgive freely, judging no one. Another soul is unknown to us, but it is our duty, our surpassing joy, to search ever for the spark of the divine in all. So what's to be done, especially when a soul feels especially burdened by life's cruelties and apparent injustices? Could we look at that wonderful scenario which has been presented to us by many teachers, and to quote the author of Shakespeare's works, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players"? Could we for a moment imagine we were all in the theatre watching an amazing stage play full of drama, sorrow, joy, laughter, vengeance, betrayal, etc., etc.? We listen to lines that are spoken and watch the plot unfold, but never for a moment do we stand up in the audience and say, "Well, she should not have said that or done that." We are simply watching a play unfolding before our eyes. And so it is with life. Should we embrace this concept and become aware that you and I are all actors on this amazing stage of life and speaking the lines, acting and reacting, all in the process of learning, growing, and absorbing a finer and better way of becoming the consummate actor or master of life? Once we are able to grasp the fact that actually nothing is out of order, and that the universe is simply asking us to grow through this wonderful school of earth, there is found a measure of forgiveness and peace. Each of us has drawn to ourselves, through past action, the people and events which will shape future growth. A whole world of possibility unfolds once we forgive, through simple understanding of the origin and purpose of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Instead of holding resentments, which are resentiments, remaining there for us to chew over, regurgitate, and bring sickness, we rise right above it all because we understand and forgive those who trespass against us. To further our understanding, we have all come into life with specific goals, aims, lessons through which we have chosen to grow while here on earth. We are drawn through karmic links to those closest to us, our families and friends, and others through whom we have chosen to learn. We are all in a group karma, a learning process, sowing and reaping each day. So imagine that one of our family group's mission is to help us learn about forgiveness. And naturally, they will supply us with lots of ammunition in order to exercise our ability to forgive. Yes, betrayals, harsh words, arguments, all piling up ready for us to respond. If we remember that this is what is happening, we have done 90% of the work. Our hurt and anger is then transmuted, and understanding eventually comes. As is suggested in the little book, The Four Agreements, by Don Miguel Ruiz, quote, "Take nothing personally." How much grief could be alleviated if this message was truly understood? The most lovely anonymous quote which follows Forgiveness is the fragrance of the violet which clings to the heel which crushed it. Says it all. Through this magnificent act of selflessness, understanding and greatness of heart, we are prepared for greater work far beyond the confines of the little self. Even more importantly, when we cross over into the life beyond physical death, we have far less baggage to hinder us as we journey into the real life. The process of forgiveness lies within the makeup of every cell. Peeling back the layers can indeed be very painful. We can surrender to it, allow the tears to flow if this is what comes. There is something very beautiful when the soul allows itself recognition of all that it holds within. For as White Eagle's teaching explains, the Christ light is the forgiving heart. It releases the bolt which bars the heart. A Higher Octave by Anna Haywood. We experience subtle energies in different ways. It's not just that our inner senses vary in acuity, and perhaps the sense of hearing or of smell may be experienced more than sight, but there are other examples of difference in awareness. Take the kind of energies at sacred sites, for example. Some people are more aware of those energies than of any other kind. Perhaps they feel the vibrations remaining in the stones. Others may also be aware of these, but it will be the energies from the earth itself, or the ley lines. And some people will feel the vibrations left from the rituals which have been enacted there in the past. Then there are those who experience subtle energies through being drawn to vibrations of beauty, or of colour, or of form. For some people, these energies manifest as presentiments of danger or important events. Others experience the feelings and thoughts of others more acutely and deeply. And then there are those who feel presences around them, whether human, angelic, or elemental. And again, those who are open to planetary influences, phases of the moon, sunlight, or particular stars. My point in making this far from complete list is to give examples of how not everyone will experience subtle energies in the same degree or be open to them all in a conscious way. Of course, we all feel them in some way, but awareness of this will be dependent on our own individual karma, our ways of service, and our learning. And no experience is more important than another. We cannot compare ourselves with anyone else. Perhaps finding our own particular subtle field of experience is key and helps us to find our best way to serve life and develop spiritually in this lifetime. Of course, in other lifetimes, we may be aware differently. However, we may be learning the nature of a field of subtle energies in this lifetime ready for the next, when the awareness will blossom for a particular work we have to do, or be something we shall then be able to offer. White Eagle says, of past life experiences, for example, that we are only aware of them when we need them for this life, because it is this life we are currently dealing with spiritually as well as physically. How to bring love to bear in all areas of our current existence. This may well be true of the strength of our field of inner awareness. For to be totally conscious of an area of subtle energy all the time, or aware on all levels, might be inhibiting and mean that functioning in this world becomes painful or confusing. That is, until we have a degree of mastery of our emotions and the ability to control our inner awareness at will when necessary. Those who are over open, particularly at the solar plexus, and without this control, have a hard time. Learning to gain control and keep the planes of consciousness distinct is fundamental to growth. White Eagle has given us a sure means to achieve this, which is through the path of service and love. Many times he tells us that when we are radiating light and love, nothing can harm us. When we love, we are open to the highest energies, and anything less becomes transformed by those light rays as they sweep through us. This, in turn, is why White Eagle meditation focuses on the heart, the center of the highest love. The process of loving kindness is serving the highest purpose, no matter how small or mundane the acts might be. In so doing, as the love rays flow from our hearts to others, no matter how imperfectly or intermittently, we gain in control, understanding, and strength. This is because the subtle energies we are open to and aspire to be aware of are manifesting naturally at the highest level. It is important, White Eagle says, that in opening ourselves and finding our field of awareness, we are able to reach and absorb and be aware of the vibrations at the higher mental or even celestial level, and to bring those through, rather than vibrations based on fear. Whatever impressions we receive, from whatever source, there is always a higher octave and a lower octave. This brings me to three interrelated themes which are common to many who are interested in the pursuit of spiritual awareness. These themes are predicting, affirming, and manifesting, and are often cited when people wish to influence outcomes, make decisions, or simply to get what they want, either physically or emotionally. White Eagle shares quite different perspectives to many on these subjects, and it goes without saying that he stresses the importance of reaching towards the higher octave rather than simply being open to whatever comes. Predicting, for example, is not, as many people believe in popular culture, about seeing into the future, whether through astrology, divination, mediumship, or through any psychic means. What a medium sees depends very much on their own level of development, rather than on some absolute reality. This is why mediums, and indeed anyone who receives an impression, will be very careful not to say anything definitive, knowing that how a person approaches the future may well change the way it is felt or perceived, so that predicting cannot be exact. Affirming and manifesting are alike in that they seem to imply a means to gain what one wants, rather than to accept the karma and opportunity of any given situation. So affirming needs to be prefaced by "if it is God's will," or "if it is for my highest spiritual good." For if something longed for does not manifest, there will be good reason, and any opportunity is just that, an opportunity, not an automatic recipe for success or happiness. So perhaps all I can predict with surety is that God will uphold me, no matter what. And the only thing I can affirm is that I am spirit and that the spirit shines in me. And out of that spirit, that highest octave, the only manifestation I can influence will be whatever is needed within myself for the highest good of all. A Little Piece of Silence by Michael Bethel. In the beginning there was silence, and God said, "Let there be sound," and there was sound, and out of the sound everything was created. And when the sound had finished creating, it returned to the silence. When we look out on all creation, we must acknowledge that every created thing has its own frequency, its own sound. Always, however, behind the sound is the silence. If we could listen well enough, we would be able to hear not only the sound that each thing makes, but also the sound that makes each thing, and the silence behind each sound. If we play a musical instrument, and perhaps everyone should play a musical instrument, even if it is only a simple drum, and if we play it consciously, even if only a single note, and if we listen consciously, then when the sound is finished, we will be aware not only of a lack of sound, but also of the silence behind the sound, the deep silence which was there all the time. It is a sign of our time that gongs and bowls, so popular today, are often used as entertainment rather than as an instrument to lead one into meditative inner stillness. Listening to a single note, tone, that fades gradually into silence can be a very healing exercise, leading the listener to the place where silence is. The magic of sound is its ability to lead us into the silence. The paradox is that when we use sound unconsciously, it becomes a means to block our access to the silence. Sadly, we often seek it for this reason. Wojtyla has said that we need to learn to listen, and that the Native Americans taught their children to become aware of the invisible worlds by first listening consciously to the sounds of the physical world around them. This leads me to ask what quality of awareness we carry with us through life. I mean, are we really listening to the sounds which surround us, whatever environment we live in or work in? To our pet when it sits patiently by our side? To the flowers in the room? Or even when someone is speaking to us? When we walk into a room, are we conscious of the atmosphere in the room? Are we aware that the room is aware of our presence? I also ask myself, where do these thoughts come from? In fact, where does any creative act have its beginning? In the empty space, in the stillness. By the way, if anyone is tempted to ask, well, I wonder what he does all day. Well, yes, I am a pensioner and I do sit down a lot. Walking Buffalo, a Stony Indian, said, did you know that trees talk? Well, they do. They talk to each other. And they talk to you if you listen. Trouble is, white people don't listen. This is a quote from Touch the Earth by T.C. McLuhan. From A Course of Spiritual Unfoldment by White Eagle. There is love behind all physical life that outranges all earthly understanding, active and purposeful. This love can come to you in the form of guides and teachers from the beyond, who have you and your human brethren so truly at heart that they have forgotten self and all personal desire. So greatly do they love you and your brethren that they set aside the wonder and joy to which they have attained in order to return and endure earthly vibrations. In all truth, they lay down the life of heaven at your feet, so that they may give you love and stand at your side through your human sorrows, hastes, and frets. Think long on this, and when you make the effort to be still in spirit, to enter into communion with the Spirit and with Christ, you give to those dear guides who love you joy indescribable. Be sure of this, that as soon as the spiritual life becomes the keynote of your earthly life, so will harmony return to the material life. To attain such harmony, say from your heart, Thy will, not mine, O God, and live in this thought. Know that from the darkness of the earth life springs and flourishes that which flowers in beauty, giving forth perfume and radiance. When you plant a bulb in the autumn, you have faith that from that sombre brown globe will spring a creation so charged with beauty as to seem a veritable breath of God. It will have risen from the depths of darkness and be rooted in decay. This it is, beloved child, that the masters see coming to glorify God's earth. A human life of beauty, breathing the essence of the God life. We would have you hold fast to this thought, for in it each of you have a share. If we could speak to you each privately and individually, we could not give you a more sacred and intimate message than this. And so we say that whatever may be your circumstances or your troubles at the present time, be thankful. For they are the soil, perhaps the decomposing matter about your roots, from which your blossom will spring forth in due season. In the East, many of our brothers live in such a world of spiritual realization and reality as this. Your task in the West is in some ways more difficult. But Christ your Lord is ever teaching you the way to bring forth into action these universal truths of spiritual life. Remember, you may be living here in the West to express the lesson you have learned, the wisdom you have absorbed in some previous life in the East. The Western world is a new world of action. Only through action, through man expressing the Christ life by the work of his hands, his words, his thoughts, by walking the path set forth by Christ, will humanity find emancipation. There is no other way, and it means effort on your part, even a speeding up effort in these present conditions. For this is what is happening. The life of Christ in you is being quickened. And who are we, either you on earth or we in the beyond, to question the infinite wisdom of the way that opens? Beloved, there are centers of power on earth, places of special spiritual power. It may be helpful if we can bring them more clearly before your vision. Only through the maintenance of these centers of power, situated in the remoter places of the earth, has humanity been sustained on the evolutionary path. God works through his angels, through the hierarchies of heaven, and through many other ministers to sustain, help, and guide humanity. Let us pause for a while. To pause is always good. It gives time for reflection, contemplation, absorption. Do not haste, especially when things do not go quite as you want them to. The universe will not collapse, not even your own particular universe will be shattered. In speaking about the centers of power, we would draw your attention to a cave in the upper reaches of a vast mountain range. Where, you will ask? We will not limit you. There are many such sacred places where the elder brethren meet, or, as they are sometimes called, the masters. Even now, at this moment, we can see the assembled brethren in some distant place, from which stream forth rays of light, of wonderful iridescent colouring, far beyond anything you can imagine. These shine forth into the material plane of life, the fogs and mists of earth, in which humankind moves and lives, as with eyes and ears bandaged, responsive neither to the rays of light nor the divine harmonies which come forth together with the rays. You are becoming accustomed to the darkness in your lives. This should make real to you how dense is the spiritual darkness these rays strive to pierce. You walk in darkness. About you, muffled voices, shadows of the unknown. Yet about you is ever playing a spiritual light, seeking for those responsive who will open to the light. There comes a flash of thought through me to you from one of those centres of power. Think then with me of a snow-capped mountain range, the silence and mystery of eternity. Think also of the band of gentle, quiet, loving brethren in prayer before the altar of the Holy Grail, and to them you will be linked immediately and draw to yourself their power, their peace. But this power and peace you will not be able to harbour to yourself. It must be radiated forth again in thoughts of loving kindness, else you will lose your contact. By thus making a link with the elder brethren, by your own desire, you open the channel, and through you, light and peace pour forth to others. A power stronger than any so-called evil, because evil is always destructive. Evil destroys itself, but it does not destroy good. This is a deep truth on which you can meditate long. And once it is fixed in your mind and heart, you will lose fear and anxiety, for good must ever prevail. Good must prevail because while a person's power of free will must be left to them, this is only up to a point. Actually, the radius of your choice is small in comparison with the enormous power of God to guide and help humanity through its lessons. Always remember this factor. So far and no further can humanity go. Surely these truths should enable you to go forth and to meet life refreshed and with greater confidence in the wisdom, the love, and the power of God. We lift the chalice of our hearts in worship. We lift it up to be filled with the great light from God, the living wine of the Spirit. We lift our hearts to be filled that others too may drink from this cup. Amen. And now we have our prayer for humanity. We remember before God the great need of all humankind, and that we may pray to God, we have made quiet the fretful mind of every day, and opened our hearts to the Father, Mother God, and to Christ the Son, to the Holy Trinity of wisdom, love and power. In the holy name of Christ, by the Christ light in the hearts of all people, we call upon the great angels of Christ. We feel their presence and their power, and we attune ourselves to the prayers of all men and women of goodwill. And being thus prepared and ready before God, with all the will of our minds, with all the love of our deepest hearts, we send forth the light. We send it forth as a great star of light, a star, a blazing star, withstanding, overcoming all evil, triumphant over darkness and death, a star of the Christ light. By all the power of Christ within, we send forth the light. And we especially remember at this time all those who are suffering as a result of conflict, of lack of food and water, especially in Africa. And those suffering through natural disaster. And we bring into the great light of the star all those who have asked for healing. And we especially remember anyone known to us personally who may be in need of help or healing. Silently we name them now. And we see them perfect in the heart of the star. Amen. Our meditation this time picks up on the theme that White Eagle began for us, of the brethren in the sacred places in the mountains, and on the theme of silence arising out of sound. And so we begin this meditation with the sound of the Tibetan bowl, fading into silence. Take a few conscious breaths and relax. Feel the neck, the forehead, and the belly softening and spreading out and down. Let your eyes be heavy. At the same time, your spine and chest lift up. So outwardly you relax, and inwardly you rise. Visualize a golden mountain peak. Which is a place of great wisdom, power, and love. And as you feel and see this, you are there, in a mountain pass, beneath the golden peaks and surrounded by them. And you are walking towards a small valley which opens out before you. In the valley is a beautiful still lake, reflecting the clear blue of the sky. Without any effort, you find yourself down by the lake shore. And gazing at the perfect white and pink lilies on the surface of the water. The thought comes to trust. And you walk into the water, which cannot harm you. And you lie down on your back amongst the lilies, supported, warm, floating as they do. You can see the mountains. And experience the silence. And above you, floating in the sky, as you float on the lake, is a magnificent white bird. Soaring free. But all is still, and the peace of heaven enfolds you. as you trust yourself to the water and the mountains, so you feel their embrace like the arms of Divine Mother, and the strength of the Father. You are surrounded and protected by a love beyond all earthly things. Rest in this place for a while. Absorb that love. And be lifted into joy, as if on the wings of that bird. And now, as that bird eventually comes down to rest, feel that you are coming down to rest in your earthly body once more. Let the inner vision fade and be aware of your body and the place around you on earth, bringing back the embrace of the divine as support for your day ahead. Be aware of how you're touching the earth. Take a few conscious breaths. And before you open your eyes, see yourself sitting or lying at the center of a cross of light, in a circle of light. See that same image over your solar plexus, between the navel and the diaphragm, at the hollow of the throat. And we give thanks to the brethren of the sacred places. Namaste.